Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Are there too many persnickety old people in your church? Do you long to reshuffle the congregational deck and get some young blood in the pews? Is your church dying because there just isn't enough millennial people making your church hip and cool? Well, of course, those are silly questions. And the answer to all three of those is a resounding no.
That's so right, Amy. But there are actually church leaders who feel that perhaps moving the elderly aside is a good idea. Most of these leaders, you know, they aren't blatant about it, but let's face it, it sounds discriminatory. There's one church that has made headlines recently for telling its elderly members to leave. And on today on our podcast, we're going to talk about why this is not only a ghastly move, but it's unbiblical.
It really is. And this story was first reported about 2 weeks ago, and we wanted to wait until this church could have some time to kind of think about their actions and perhaps make some clarifications or adjustments, and that really kind of didn't happen. So here's what we know. Last December 12th, members of the Grove United Methodist Church in Cottage Grove, Minnesota, which is a suburb of St. Paul, these folks were told that church is closing in June. That's this upcoming June. And they'll undergo a rebranding and will open next November. But don't bother coming back. So in order to attract more young families, the old members are being asked to attend the church's other location in a nearby suburb. And I can tell you, Michelle, that nearby suburb is a little bit of a hike. It's not that close together. And to keep attending there for up to 18 months after their home church has reopened to younger families. So most of the 25 or so members, so it's a real small church, they're over the age of 60 years old, and they got this memo asking that they stay away for 2 years and then consult the pastor if they wanted to attend their home church in Cottage Grove again. So the memo said that this church needs a reset, and reopening the church to all new people is the best way to appeal to younger people, which is what they want. At the present state, the church could soon die, according to the memo. And here's a quote. It says, "Unless something changes, we are nearing the end. Jesus said, we are called to reach new people," said the Reverend Dan Wetterstrom, head of the two-location Grove Church. Wetterstrom said, quote, "We are asking them to let this happen. For this to be truly new, we can't have the core group of 30 people. The members of the church have other options. They can come to the other church during this phase." And Wetterson says they'll need to stay away for 15 to 18 months after weekly worship is launched at the Cottage Grove, or I should say relaunched at that campus in November. And anyone who wants to come back after that will have to run this through the church's new pastor, a young guy. I think he's like 32 or 34, and he was brought in to handle the rebranding efforts. He's the guy who will need to approve anyone who wants to come back. Michelle, this just blows my mind. What did you think when you first heard of this?
Well, you know, when I first heard about this story, first of all, I wondered if it came from the Babylon Bee because it sounded like it might be something like that.
Yeah.
But then I was just floored that this might be true. And you know, sometimes when you hear something so outlandish, you know, the media gets things wrong a lot of times. I know you probably know that. And I've been in media stories, you know, in a small scale where I've noticed, you know, since I know the story behind the story, that I've noticed they've gotten some facts wrong. And so, you know, you kind of want to give the benefit of the doubt to to this church, I guess,
yeah,
that maybe they have some kind of biblical reason for doing this. But, you know, I just can't think of what could possibly be a good biblical reason for doing something like this. And I mean, they're saying they're not going to reopen until November, which is almost a year away. And then they're asking the core group that's the church right now not to come back for, you know, another 15 to 18 months. And so that's going to be like, what, two and a half years,
yeah,
kind of. And I think maybe they're hoping that by that time, a lot of those people will have just given up and not want to come back. But I was just astounded by some of the quotes that I read in various articles. And that's another thing. This is all over the news. They, yeah, have done this in front of a watching world. It's an embarrassment, you know. But some of the things that were said in these articles, like the pastor, like you were talking about, it says church leadership has suggested that present day members could be welcome if they yeah. supported the youthful new identity of the church. And the pastor says, if they're on board with that, they're welcome to attend and engage. This is a 32-year-old pastor. Yeah. Not to denigrate 32-year-olds. My son is 32, but I mean, it just sounds like a young whippersnapper kind of right.
well,
not being very respectful.
He's not part of the church family.
Right, right. He's kind of being disrespectful to his elders there. And then this really got me. The aging membership, and like you mentioned, they're all 60 years old or older. They've been asked to continue maintaining the church until it reopens without them. Yeah. They want us to mow the lawn and shovel the snow, one of the older members said. These people are all over 60 years old, yeah. and this is what they've been asked to do for the church that they're being kicked out of. And then there's one couple in their 30s in this church that has small children. Their names are Stella and John Knapp. It says Stella and John Knapp of Cottage Grove were the only members with children at the most recent service, and they hate the plan. If it happened, I wouldn't come here anymore, said Stella Knapp, 34. As six-year members, the couple loves the church, and they didn't mind being the youngest members. This church is very kind to us and our children, said her husband, John Knapp, 34. So, I mean, it's just... some of the things that you're reading coming out of these people's mouths, you know, it's just astounding what they're doing at this church.
Yeah.
But so I think we really need to, let's go back to the basics and talk about what a church is and how church is defined and whom it is for.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And we know that the church isn't a building, obviously.
Right.
It is for the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. It's
right.
It's the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ who gather together as a family and worship the Lord and care for one another. That's the church right there. That's also whom it's for. It's not right. for you know, people in the community who happen to want a club to come to every week and where they could drop their kid. That's not church.
Right.
Church is where we worship God, that where believers gather. It's not for the goats, it's for the sheep. And I know that sounds mean, but that's really biblical. It's who it's
that's
for.
Right.
And again, we can't just be I have so many thoughts about this. One thing I want to let our listeners know, though, is that we have both the newspaper article that ran originally that has been updated also, because there have been a couple of corrections, but basically in the letters that the church, the way they've responded, the leadership anyway, they've doubled down. They haven't
right.
done anything to change their minds. They're clarifying, but the clarification doesn't help the members. The situation is still the same. So we've got two letters from the church leadership as well, and you can read those for yourselves. But again, you know, you've got all sorts of scriptures that we can go to here. I like Job 12:12. I found that one. Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days is you know, we really need to respect those of us who are getting on in years. Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. And then, of course, we all know Titus chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things that are consistent with sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, and sound in faith, love, and perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teachers of good. So the elderly, the people who are seasoned in the church, they're our leaders. You know, we look
right.
to them to lead us because they have the wisdom and the knowledge and their family.
Right. And they set such a good example to us too, for people who persevere in the faith for so many years, and they show us what it looks like to walk through hard times and to walk through great times too. And I really like that Proverbs 16:31 verse that gray hair is a crown of glory, because it really is. I mean, it shows us that, you know, someone has been around for a while and they've been through some things. They've been around the block and they can teach us some things. And I like it on those days when it's time to color my hair again, too. I quote that verse a lot.
So. I've got a few of those myself, so I can relate. Oh. But, you know, the church leaders, like I said, Michelle, they've issued a statement, and actually there are two, but, you know, they wanted to, they're disheartened, they say, by what the media has covered, which is basically the truth, since this story went viral. Michelle, let's take a look at that statement from the church. What do you see there?
Right. It says, guided by our mission, prayerful discernment, and consultation with the Dakota's Minnesota Director of Church Planting, the leadership team voted last year to relaunch the Cottage Grove location to welcome more people. Cottage Grove is a rapidly growing city, and there is a tremendous opportunity to create thriving intergenerational church for all. The Cottage Grove location will temporarily close in June and reopen later this year with a new pastor who is skilled in developing new worship styles, new programming, and incorporating building updates aimed at engaging more members of a growing community, including families with children. A relaunch is a well-tested approach to church planting, and several other churches in the Minnesota Conference are seeing success after a relaunch, including the St. Croix campus of Embrace.
Yeah, well-tested. I can tell you where the well-tested comes from, but, you know, I've never heard of anyone closing their doors during a rebranding, you know, put a new logo and a website out there or whatever, but unless they're actually doing construction work, why would they need to close their doors from June through November? That's, you know, a good chunk of your year there. And why would they want their current members to wait so long, 18 months, before asking the new guy if maybe they could please, oh pretty please, come back to the church that they, many of them, founded? It's just stunning.
Right. I mean, I knew of a church that in my area that replanted. They didn't really call it a relaunch. They called it a replant. And they had a congregation of mostly elderly members. But what they did was the sending church that was replanting this sort of semi still existing church was the planting church gathered up several of their member families, and they all moved their membership to the existing church of elderly people. And those elderly people loved it, and the young people loved it. They brought in a new pastor because they were needing a pastor, and it's doing well as far as I know, you know, and they have a true intergenerational church. And I just thought that was just a beautiful way to do it. But they never closed their doors or anything like that. They just kept right on trucking. No, they didn't do anything like that. Well, the statement that we were just reading from the church leadership says that this is a common practice to close during a relaunch, and they don't want anyone to feel unwelcome. I mean, I felt unwelcome just reading the statement, and I'm not even a member there. But here's the rest of their statement. A relaunch almost always involves a church closing for a season so that it can prepare for new worship and programming. The worshipers at Cottage Grove location are beloved members of our church family. Their presence and contributions are part of our identity.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt there.
The Cottage Grove members have been invited to serve on a transition team to identify the traditions and values that are important to them and to explore options during and after the relaunch. This is presumably while they're still kicked out of the church. This is just a little editorial
while they're still
there
shoveling,
for me.
Right.
Yes, exactly. We're still shoveling and raking and mowing. Anyway, on with the statement. We're working to connect them to to existing worship services in Woodbury, or to help them continue as a group at a different time and or location after the building closes to prepare for the relaunch. We recognize that people may have a range of feelings about the planting project. We acknowledge and honor these feelings, and we seek to be a safe space where all these emotions are welcomed and affirmed.
Yeah, in other words, we see that you're hurt and we hear you, but too bad, so sad, we're doing this anyway.
Right.
What a horrible situation for those long-term members to have to deal with. You could just imagine their pain. And in the many interviews, you can actually hear the pain just through their words.
Yeah, just feeling unwanted and unloved, and you know, people who are supposed to be serving them at their, you know, their older time of life are saying, hey, we don't want you anymore, get out. But also, you know, a similar letter was issued by the Minnesota Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, which is the governing council of these churches, signed by four women, three of whom hold the Reverend title. Mm-hmm. We've got that link on in our show notes as well. But it seems to me that whenever you have women in authoritative positions in a church over men, you already have an unbiblical situation. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to any of our listeners that this church has gone off the rails as far as how to follow God's instructions for leading and ministering to the church body.
Yeah, well, they've certainly fallen for the purpose-driven seeker business model, which the church, in this model, the Bride of Christ, has been turned into some sort of marketing tool to attract the goats into the sheep pen. And the idea is straight out of the church growth movement put forth by megachurch gurus like Bob Buford, Rick Warren, and Bill Hybels. Those are the three. And then Mark Driscoll was another one. He called it, he called getting rid of the undesirables in your demographics blessed subtraction. So other church marketing gurus emerged from those three. And I am going to add, and I know you are too, Michelle, a heap, a boatload of links in our show notes today so that you can study how this happened, how the church growth movement happened, how it became a marketing machine. But the bottom line for right now is that a church run as a business model is not about pleasing Christ, but about pleasing and being appealing to the world.
Yeah,
and
right.
So we're going to share a white paper on the church growth movement and how it came to be and where it is now. And if you're not familiar with any of this, it is really going to open your eyes and frankly make you sad to see what has happened in the modern church. But I think it's necessary, and I'm sure Michelle agrees, that we need to share these things with you so that because it's unfolding exactly the way Jesus said that these things would. So take heart, friends, be strong in the word and stay on that doctrinally sound path and just be aware of where these things come from.
Right. You know, it's important that we all respect and love our elders. I mean, if you have older people in your church, take advantage of that. That's a blessing to you. Go talk to them, be of service to them, and just listen to them. And you will be amazed at how much you will learn, you know, spiritually, about your community, about the world in general. And so consider that a blessing. It's a blessing when we have older people in our church that can encourage us that way and can teach us. And so we want to wrap up tonight and finish this off and let you know that you can go back and study the scriptures that we mentioned and take a look at the other resources that we'll be putting together in the show notes at awordfitlyspoken.life or on your regular podcast platform. And if this podcast has blessed you, please consider supporting us to offset our operating costs. You can go to awordfitlyspoken.life and you can click on the support tab and support us through PayPal or Patreon. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast either. There's all kinds of podcast platforms you can listen on. And until next time, walk worthy.